At the other end of the hall, past the open supply room door, Tony stood at the foot of the stairs, talking to four or five gawking, nervous state troopers. He was making shooing gestures, trying to get them to go back up, but they weren't quite ready to do that. Sandy walked back down the hall as far as the supply room door, stopping where they could all get a good look at him. "I'm okay, fellas. I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. Go upstairs and chill out. After we get squared away, you can all look at the video." "Will we want to?" Orville Garrett asked. "Probably not," Sandy said. The troopers went upstairs. Tony, his cheeks as pale as glass, turned to Sandy and gave him a little nod. "Thanks. Least I could do. I panicked, boss. I'm sorry as hell." Curtis clapped him on the shoulder this time instead of just patting. Sandy almost shrank away again before seeing that the kid had pulled off his stained gloves. So that was all right. Better, anyway. "You weren't alone," Kurt said. "Tony and I were right behind you. You were just too freaked to notice. We knocked over Huddy's video cam in the stampede. Hope it's okay. If it's not, I guess we'll be passing a hat to buy him a replacement. Come on, let's look." The three of them returned to the supply room resolutely enough, but at first, none of them was able to go inside. Part of it was the smell, like rotten soup. Most of it was just knowing the bat thing was still in there, pinned to the corkboard, flayed open and needing to be cleaned up, like the weekend road accidents where when you got there, the smell of blood and busted guts and spilled gasoline and boiled rubber was like some hideous old acquaintance who would never move out of town. You smelled it and knew that somebody was dead, or almost dead, that somebody else would be crying and screaming, that you were going to find a shoe. Hopefully not a child, but all too often it was, lying in the road. For Sandy, it was like that. You found them in the road or on the side of the road, with the bodies God gave them, and said, "Here, get through life with it just as best you can," tortured into new shapes. Bones bursting out through pants and shirts. Heads twisted halfway around the neck but still talking and screaming. Eyes hanging loose. A bleeding mother holding out a bleeding child like a broken doll and saying, "Is she still alive? Please, would you check? I can't. I don't dare." There was always blood on the seats and pools, and fingerprints of blood on what remained of the windows. When the blood was on the road, it was also in pools, and it turned purple in the pulse of the red bubblegum lights, and you needed to clean it up. The blood, and the shit, and the broken glass, oh yes. Because John Q and his family didn't want to be looking at it on their way to church come Sunday morning. And John Q paid the bills.